You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I'm not allowed to tell you the episodes anymore. The new guy in charge says no more episode numbers, but it's like a lot. It's like closing on 700. We're going to talk today about what is the mission of the church. Now, depending upon the stream of church planting from which you are, you probably say, well, of course I know what the mission of the church is. I mean, that's just evident and obvious. I want to reach people. I want to change my community. For others, you know that this is actually a pretty significantly debated topic and issue. Books have been written about this, journal articles. I actually have participated in a 5-part series, What is the Mission of the Church? Comparing evangelical, progressive evangelical, mainline, Catholic, and Orthodox views. If you're interested, you can go to what's just called What is the Mission of the Church? Craig Ott's the editor. That's very scholarly. That's a textbook. So we're going to talk about it today and what it means for church planters, because I think a lack of clarity of the mission is actually a pretty recurring problem. So we're going to talk today about mission. We might touch some on ecclesiology as well. Two guests today in our conversation. Nathan Knight is married to his wife, Andrea, and they have two boys. He has a master's in divinity, helped plant Restoration Church, which I know some of you were like, oh, wait, Restoration Church. We're talking about what's the mission of the church. Is it to restore all things? We're going to get to that. It's in Washington, D.C. area. Rivers Parton is planted along with her husband, Neighborhood Church in Overland Park, Kansas. By the way, if you don't know Overland Park, Kansas, it's a great community. Dave and Rivers have 4 children. She's a graduate with a master's degree in counseling and now works with the Planter Spouse Development Team at the North American Mission Board. Okay, so we're excited to have this partnership. As always, let me remind you that all the resources at newchurches.com are available and free. I was driving down, I had a 4-hour drive back from somewhere I was speaking, and I tweeted, hey, if you want to get some advice, you know, send me a direct message. And I always get a good number of church planters to do that. And so I call one of them and I said, yeah. And he says, what can I do? Where can I get more training? So I told him about newchurches.com. And he says, yeah, but I can't afford it. And I was like, I don't know that you've been there, because the only thing you have to afford is an internet connection. So he was like so excited. And I think you would be as well. Go to newchurches.com. All the resources are free for you there. Any denomination that's passionate about the gospel, wants to plant churches, free for you. Okay, so let's jump in. And we're going to talk about the mission. And we're going to talk to both Rivers and Nathan. Let's start with this. I'm going to start with you, Rivers. How does your church express it, the mission? And why do you think that's a good way or a good thing or a good approach?
Sure. Well, our mission statement is loving God and our neighbors together. And so we really live that out through even the initial days of planting. Our core team just really sought to get involved in our neighborhood and our community in any way possible. We had a few questions that guided us to do that. We asked, you know, what's broken here that the light of the gospel could bring hope to, help to, health to? What do people care about here in our neighborhood, and how can we come alongside in those ways? And really, it was really centered around a lot of meals with people. Our first 50 weeks of living in this house, we had 50 meals with 50 different families. Wow. And we really didn't have anybody tell us no when we invited them over for a meal. It was scheduling issues sometimes, but we never had anybody tell us no. And so our mission is really centered around neighbors being neighbors to one another, resting in the love of God for themselves, and then sharing that love with neighbors.
Okay. So in there, by the way, I really love the idea of, you know, being in those kind of relationships, that table. We talk about the blessed practices here at the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. One of those things is, you know, going to be involved in that eating together, sharing, and more. So, but interestingly enough, one of the things you didn't mention in there, Rivers, was specifically, well, the mission is we're going to, I mean, at the core of what you're doing, you're going to evangelize and congregationalize people. That's church planting. If you want to use two words, is evangelize and congregationalize. You started with bless and impact neighbor. So talk to me about how you think about those things together, because you are planting a church, not a community service ministry.
Right, 100%. Yeah, and our values are be, bless, belong, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and we also use the bless rhythms.
Oh, I didn't know you said that's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Tell me your question again. How do we?
So you're talking a lot about your neighbor, loving your neighbor, building relationships. Yeah. Where does evangelize and congregationalize fit into that?
Yeah, we really were so helped by Brad Briscoe when we planted, and
I like Brad Briscoe at all, but go ahead.
we actually were coming home from being overseas for quite a while, working with Campus Crusade and working with college students as missionaries in Hungary. And we kept saying, we just want to live out our faith and love people. And we were saying these really squishy words, like you just identified that I did. And Brad really helped us see that, what you're wanting to do is help people overcome these missional, we often ask people to become missionaries and come into the church, right? And so our plant model was really kind of upside down from a typical plant model, which God also uses. But we were often asked, like, when are you going to launch? When are you going to start your services? And we would say, when there's a bunch of new believers, that's when we're going to congregationalize them. And then that service will be based on their needs and who those people are and who God has brought into the family together. And so we just asked ourselves three questions: who's leaning into relationship with us, who's not going to a Bible teaching church, and is interested in spiritual things. And so we invited those people to start a Bible study in our home. We called it Sunday night dinners. We said, we're going to pray together, share life together, and we're going to study God's word together. And eventually we couldn't fit here in our house anymore. And that's when we started exploring, what does it look like to have a simple Sunday service? Because we weren't a good small group and we weren't a good church service in our house, right? So we were like, that's when we started exploring congregationalizing, I guess. Yeah. As you'd say.
I can tell that you guys were missionaries. You talk like missionaries, and I love that. I think this is a missionary approach. For those who don't know, the BLESS acronym, B, begin with prayer, L, listen, E, eat, S, serve, S, story. You can Google it. It comes up lots of places, including here at the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. So, and that's what you did. You sought to bless your neighbors and build relationships, and it begins to make it. That's an expression of the mission. But Nathan, let's come over to you too. And we're going to go back and forth in our conversation today. So again, let's personalize it with you, because your church is living on mission. The name tells me something. So tell me about how your church is engaging in the mission in your context.
Yeah, the way we're, engaging with the mission of our neighborhood is by, I think here, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, right, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so we want them to know the gospel, love the gospel, and most importantly, love the God of the gospel. And so from that, as we come together and sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word, and they're equipped, they then scatter out into the neighborhoods and homes of their communities and display the beauty of Christ and the hope of that salvation in their neighborhoods. Yeah.
Yeah. So is the church, as you think about the mission of the church, we don't have to all be on the same page. This is a discussion in evangelicalism. Yeah. I'm the regional director of Lausanne, North America. We follow the Cape Town Covenant. And that really speaks about that the mission of the church is multifaceted, showing the love of Jesus, part of it, sharing the love of Jesus and showing the love of Jesus. So when you see the mission of the church, you're making disciples in the church, and then they are living out the implications of the gospel in their context. Do you see your church? I kind of what River said, I think she would see her church as intentionally engaging in that impact in the community. Is that part of the mission of the church, or is it more discipleship that might lead to individuals acting that out?
Yeah, I think it'd be difficult to separate the two. I think, it's sort of like a fountain that has it starts at its headwaters and then flows down. So yeah, we would see that the mission of the church would be to make disciples, right? So our mission statement is Restoration Church exists to make disciples that delights in the supremacy of Christ here in Washington, D.C. and beyond. And so, yeah, so we see that mission in the church, that discipleship being grounded in three big ideas. One, defining or preaching the gospel. Two, portraying the gospel. That's Lord's Supper and baptism. And then protecting that gospel through membership and discipline, making it clear, you know, who are Christians and who are not Christians and what do Christians do and the like. And in doing that, I think defining that gospel and the people of the gospel, then therefore it only serves to compel people into the gospel as they live their daily lives, which I think is what we see happening in Acts 2, right? When you see that they're devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? The breaking of the bread and on down it goes. And at the end, right? Praising God and having favor with all the people. So I think those things combined, this sitting under the teaching and preaching of God's word, loving one another, doing all those one another's, and then flowing out from that, there's a favor with the people in the communities as they spread out.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about what that looks like with Restoration Church, which again is an interesting name because you're, again, just so people who listen know, there are people who have a broader view of the mission and a more narrow view of the mission, right? So I tend to have a bit, some people have a very broad view of the mission. I'm not in the very broad view. But, you know, if making disciples is the mission, the Great Commission is the mission, and then those things are lived out, those are impacted. Mm-hmm. But so when you're in the planting process, you're planting Restoration mm-hmm. Church, are you trying to restore the community? Are you trying to do good in the name of Christ in the community as part of the planting process? Is that central to who you are or no?
Yeah, I think, yes, yeah, central to who we are is, you know, Captain Obvious here. Centered to who we are is Christ. And in Christ, I think we have that new life, and that new life ought to be lived out in certain ways. Another way of getting at your question, Ed, is to think, I don't have promises attached to various things I might do in the community, whereas I do have promises from God attached to certain commands that are lived out in the Bible. And so as a result, I'm going to do those things in the community, but I'm not doing those with the hope that that community, as it relates to, you know, maybe cleaning up a park or something like that, which we do. I don't have any hope that, you know, as a result of cleaning up the park and maybe giving some homeless some food, I don't have a hope that that's going to eventually result in eternal welfare, whereas I do have promises attached to certain commands that God calls for all of his people. And so we're going to do those things, but we're going to keep in mind the clarity of where God's promises are offered.
Yeah, no, I think I get that. So your church is engaged and involved. Where I would add is that I'm doing kingdom work. Mm-hmm. And when I make the world more like Jesus would want it to be, I joined Jesus on his mission. He came saving the lost and serving the hurting. So serving the hurting for me is part of me joining in the Jesus mission. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're far apart on that, but I don't think we're at the same place on that. How would you nuance what I said?
Yeah, I think the way I'd nuance it is you know, if I don't, if the church proper, you know, the covenantal body that is the church, if there is not some, you know, I think the heart of her work is to teach, to pray, to do those, as I mentioned before, preach the gospel, portray the gospel, and protect that gospel. And as a result of that, as you're doing that work, you ought to be doing those other things. And so the way in which I think I would nuance it, Ed, would be to say that I don't think I can go to a Christian and say, all right, so I haven't seen you, you know, serve a homeless person or serve a poor person or something like. And so as a consequence, I'm not going to admit you into the Lord's table today. And so I think that's where I'd nuance it is to be careful to not draw the line so distinctly as to say that if you're not doing this or that as it relates to in the community, then therefore you're not a Christian.
Yeah, that makes sense. So in a sense, you don't want to put an obligation, what the scripture doesn't give us an obligation, you don't want to add as a clear requirement. Whereas what I might say is that, you know, if you're joining Jesus on mission, this, again, not only we're far apart, it's just some of it is the theological underpinning, right?
Sure.
Just so everyone knows, this is a very, again, remember, I've written a whole, not me, but we wrote a whole textbook on this. This is whole, there are books about this or people with different views on this. I'm probably influenced by Christopher Wright in particular. And anyway, more on that. But I would say there's a new book coming out. I just wrote an endorsement for it that kind of holds, I think, where you are, Nathan, and express it. I think you're expressing it very, very well, but it's not even out yet. It's by Michael Reeves, is over in the Wales, and it's called It's called God Shines Forth, Why Missions and Evangelism Are an Overflow of Delighting in God. And I really like how some of the, I wouldn't phrase it exactly the same way, but I like, so I want everyone to hear, because I'm going to go to Rivers.
I love Michael Reeves.
Yeah,
he's so
Michael
good.
Reeves is great. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And so thoughtful, theological, and I really think he worked to kind of understand different views. Again, I would have worded it a little differently, but this is what I'm writing a book on this topic. So, you know, what am I going to do? All right. So I want to come to Rivers. And Rivers, I wonder, as you heard us kind of talking back and forth, we started with kind of have you kind of frame the mission, which I felt a little bit more aligned with where I would be on how to frame that mission. I wonder how you would reflect on where you would say, well, here's how we see church planting, a church plant living out the mission in the community, kind of in contrast or maybe building on some of what Nathan and I just talked about. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a few thoughts I had were, or maybe questions, you know, just like, I wonder what I think about that. When Nathan said, I wouldn't, you know, keep somebody from the table if they weren't living out their faith, you know, I kind of had a little bell or go off where I thought, okay, sure, maybe not for those things, but for me, and I love the title of that book, if someone wasn't living out their faith in their community, having compassion for the hurting, wanting to bring the beauty of Jesus into broken spaces, I would say there's something underneath that that may keep them from the table, that they may need to. Yeah. So that's where it's like, it's so nuancy, right? You're like, okay, sure, that doesn't, but what's underneath that is they're not rightfully seeing the beauty of Christ, not rightfully. In my own story is just, I'm often compelled to share my faith because I'm so grateful someone shared with me.
Amen.
And so that, you know, so that was a little bit of my thought.
No, I get it. I like what you're saying, because I want to come. And this is, I think sometimes a good podcast is to tease out some of the differences with a common agreement to mission. So Nathan is influential in a space of a ministry called Nine Marks. Some of you that never heard that before, what are Nine Marks? Nine Marks are, well, they're marks of a church. So Nathan has said a couple times, he's talking about the sacraments or the ordinances, and that would be some of the things that are in there. But the nine marks are very quickly preaching, biblical theology, the gospel, conversion, evangelism, membership, discipline, discipleship, and leadership. I've actually written, you know, people can Google, I've written there are six marks of the church. It's not that I don't think that there are these nine marks. I think that I would express some of them in collapse categories. But one of the marks I have is mission. I think mission is a mark of a biblical church, which they have conversion, evangelism, but not mission in the sense. So when you hear Nathan saying, I don't want to put an obligation or responsibility on God's people to fix everything in their community, please forgive me, Nathan, I may be putting words in your mouth. I'm going to let you correct me. That's very much in line with the idea. People who love the gospel, people who love evangelism, people who love church planting would say, don't get too distracted by trying to transform your community. Now, I'm going to throw it to Nathan, because this is something that I'm concerned about. Remember, I don't hold the same views that Nathan does. And there's actually a well-known book kind of written in and around this space, What is the Mission of the Church, by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert. And I don't hold the same view that they hold, but I did this very long review in a journal called Familios from the Gospel Coalition. But I hold the same concern that they have. My concern is that many church planters become basically community activists, and their call is actually, you know, Ephesians 4 call, you know, as you already heard Nathan mention, God gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip God's people. So Nathan, kind of reflect a little bit on, if I've misstated anything, I want you to state it correctly, but I share your concern that we don't become community activists. And how do we make sure for all of us who may not hold the same view of nine marks that we stay focused on what God's called us to? Just weigh in.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think you're exactly right. Like, I don't think that the church ought to be the, you know, the community activist kind of things, but we ought to be working in our community. And right. So I think one of the ways in which we can kind of make that more clear is I think the Bible has more to say about the work of the church than the average Christian thinks it does. And the more that we give ourselves to understanding what the Bible actually teaches about the work of the church, and I want to highlight one aspect of that. I think the church will be healthier. There's a difference between, right, the Christian and the non-Christian, right? Romans 12, do not conform to the patterns of the world, as And so, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think that more that we can kind of show that difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, the better the mission will be. And one of the ways in which we can most distinctly show that difference is not by the, you know, the kinds of music that we have or the buildings that we meet in or, you know, whether or not we watch, you know, Harry Potter, but instead we properly understand what a Christian is and what a Christian does, what a church is, what a church does. And there's accountability to those things. And as a result of that, the more that there's distinction between what a Christian is and what a Christian does and what a non-Christian does, I think that helps the mission. Because it brings more clarity. The Lord has always seemed to have a distinction, right? From Israel being set apart from the rest of the nations to heaven, right? Being set apart from those that are outside of the gates of heaven. And so likewise, the church, the more clarity in biblical senses, not going 1 Corinthians 4, not going beyond what is written, but instead meeting those basic standards so as to make clear what a Christian is and what a Christian does, and what a church is and what a church does. The more that's clear, I think the better it helps the mission and bring accountability to that mission. And I think that actually will compel more non-Christians into the life of Christ, which again is what I think I see happening in Acts 2.
No, it's so good. It's so good. And not, there's not a word you said in that last section that I would not be 100% on board with. And so, Rivers, I want to come to you and kind of end this segment, but we're going to continue this in the next podcast too. So I know, I think people are going to be very interested in this conversation. The concern, you know, when I go speak at these church plantapalooza events and now what I'm hearing about is, you know, community transformation, you know, change your city, that kind of stuff. Now, again, keeping in mind that I'm comfortable with that language in a way that a lot of people with a more narrow view of mission, a more discipleship only or Great Commission focus view of mission, that only is too strong a word. So I'm comfortable with that language, but I want to say to them, in the past, when Christians have been focused on, I'm going to come in, I'm going to get to know everyone, I'm going to be with them, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to walk this journey with them, et cetera, et cetera. I want to say to them, you've got to not, you can use whatever metaphor, there's a tip of the spear that's got to be evangelism and church planning, global mission, whatever it may be. How do you make sure that the believers that you guys are discipling are actually living on a mission that is not just a mission of let's make our community better, but let's make sure people know and respond to the good news of the gospel and grow in that faith. What do you do?
Yeah, that's good. And there's a lot of tension there, right? Because there is, but
I think there's less tension there for Nathan than there is for you and me. But yes, yeah. Tell me about that tension.
There's a lot of tension there because we have a lot of really good friendships with people who believe really super differently than we do. One thing that's been really neat to see, though, is that even lost neighbors who are very far from God, who would think very differently than me on a lot of things, do want to join in on helping and being a part of what I would consider God's mission in my own neighborhood. And so one thing we do to I guess, ease that tension to your question is we talk about it a lot. We remind each other a lot. Like our purpose is not cleaning the park. Our purpose is bringing restoration to something that is broken because that's what the Lord does in our lives. And so as we're bringing restoration to this park, could we have a conversation about that, about our story? Could we get someone's phone number and invite them to a meal so that we could get to that conversation later? And so we're just regularly reminding each other that that there's a greater purpose than picking up the trash, that the trash is a step, right, towards being able to share our story. We just say a lot, if neighborhood church left this neighborhood, would our neighbors notice? And I, after 5 years, I think they would. And I think they would be sad that we left. And that gives us favor in order to have those gospel conversations.
Fascinating conversation. I want to continue it in the next episode. Again, if you're enjoying newchurches.com podcast, please leave a review wherever you download your podcast. And these are the kind of conversations that I think are essential for us to have, because as church planning has become mainstream, when my two guests were just youngsters, and I was planning a church, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, people talked a lot about these issues. And then what happened is church planning became the it thing, and we're assuming a lot about the church and what it is. We're assuming a lot about the mission and what it is. We're assuming a lot about the gospel and what it is. So thanks for listening to the New Church Podcast. We're going to continue this conversation in our next episode.
We believe every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. Becoming a church that cares well for the abused brings together top experts from various fields to help leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios in your church, school, or ministry. Check out this free video training as well as a free handbook over at newchurches.com.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.